This is Sam from the Mask and Journey podcast, and our goal with the podcast is help you to try to find your way in this difficult world. Your Chosen Truth Network podcast is starting in just seconds. Enjoy it, share it, but most of all, thank you for listening and choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network. Welcome to Truth Talk Live.
All right, let's talk.
The truth is, I can't hide it, I can't hold it.
A daily program powered by the Truth Network.
This is kind of a great thing, and I'll tell you why.
Where pop culture, current events, and theology all come together.
Speak your mind.
And now, here's today's Truth Talk Live host.
Today we're asking, what is your love language? If you don't know about love languages, we'll explain that a little bit, but the number is 866-348-7884. What is your love language? Dr. Chapman is here in Winston-Salem, so if you're from Winston-Salem, you know your love language, but the love language is, Robbie, help me out. We've got quality time.
Yes, well, words of affirmation.
Yes, gifts.
Physical touch.
Physical touch, and yeah, let's see what else, acts of service.
There you go.
Quality time, gifts, acts of service, physical touch, words of affirmation. What's your love language? And if you're not real familiar with it, just take a stab. What do you think speaks love to you? 866-348-7884. All right. Well, we're going to delve into a continuation of a discussion we started a couple of weeks ago on discipleship. We're really talking about, how do you know when you're being discipled well? How do you know if you're really walking with God and He's changing your life? Part of it is you grow in your love for God, and part of it is you grow in your love for people. And so we're asking, how do you feel loved? How do you show love? And we're going to delve into a few topics that are not exactly easy, Robbie, like the topic of forgiveness. We love people through forgiveness. We love people because they're made in the image of God. We love people through serving. But I want you to jump on the phone if you have an answer to our question, what is your love language?
Yeah, well, like, you know, that's always a fascinating thing to me. And I'll even throw up another one for you that it really I would love to hear an answer to. What do you think God's love language is? You know, obviously He speaks all love languages. I mean, clearly.
Absolutely.
But what one do you think? I'm really curious. What do you think is God's number one hit parade on His love language? But, you know, clearly, you know, I can tell you that for me, it was always easy, words of affirmation. Like, somebody just has to tell me they love me, and they can. And the idea Dr. Chapman always talked about, I love this idea of the love tank, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, your love tank is empty, it's full,
right,
depending on how you're loved.
And my wife's turned out, as I studied it, my wife's was important to me. Hers happened to be acts of service. Well, to me, you know, I'm always telling her I love her. That should be good.
And she's like, well, show me the laundry.
There is vacuuming that needs to be done here. There, you know, what's up with these dishes? You know, whatever is going on, especially with the kids.
Right.
You know, there were things like that her love tank was empty. I had no idea. But, you know, and yet, you know, the worst thing she could do is not tell me that she loved me. And then, you know, mine would go empty. And then we'd really, you know.
You'd spiral. Somebody needs to start the trend in the right direction, for sure. Yeah, we had the same issue in our marriage. Mine is quality time. And JT's is acts of service, physical touch. But, you know, he was always doing something for me. And I was like, I don't want you to do anything. I want you to sit down and talk to me. And so we've had to both work at realizing, for one thing, he's learned to speak my love language in a different way, and I've learned to speak his. But I've also realized that when he's doing those things, he is loving me, and not to dismiss those, because that is his way of showing love for me. But he learned early on, he would come in the house and, why don't we sit down for 5 minutes? I'm like, it doesn't take much to fill my love tank. But definitely, I'm a quality time person. So
that's fascinating. Yeah, well, again, it's always been an interesting study. I really believe, you know, that love language thing works on all sorts of levels, on all sorts of things, especially your kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, and people that are close to you, whatever that may look like. So I love the idea of incorporating that into discipleship, because clearly, right, you're working on God's love language when you're discipling. I mean, you're clearly spending quality time with God.
Right. When you ask, what is God's love language? That's a great question. You know, I look at these quality time. He definitely loves time with us. Gifts, he gave the greatest gift of his son. Acts of service, I think of when Jesus, you know, washed the feet of the disciples in an ultimate act of service as a human and then went to the cross. Physical touch, I think he touches us through his Holy Spirit. You know, he said, I'm going to go. I know you like me here. You like to touch me and see me, but I'm going to leave and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit so that he can indwell you, because I want to be like with you, in you. And then words of affirmation. I think he, you know, sings songs of delight over us. He gives us his love letter
right,
in his word.
Bible, right, the Bible is like, oh my gosh, it's total words, right? Which may be why I've always loved
it. Right. I know. One of the topics in the discipleship book I've been putting together the last few months is loving people through forgiveness. And when you ask, what's God's love language? You know, he is love, so love is not even outside of him. It's not something he's passing on to us. He himself in his very essence is love, and that's a pretty profound idea. You know, he's a lot of other things that he becomes for us, but before he was ever anything, he was love at his very core. So that's how he extends all these things to us, is because of his love for us. But when I think of forgiveness, that's a hard one, Robbie. I don't know about you. Have you ever been in a situation where you knew that loving people the way Christ wanted you to was costly and it was difficult? Or is just forgiveness just always easy? Rhetorical question, perhaps.
One of my personal favorite stories along those lines is, you know, in 2007, you know, Chrysler Financial did an audit in our dealership, and they came to me and they said, you know, Robbie, you got $600,000 in your checking account on your bank, on your books here, but, you know, we can't find, you know, but about 80.
Oh, my goodness.
And by the time it was all said and done, actually, there was like $3 million missing. And as it turned out, it was our office manager that had done all sorts of things in order to create this problem, including a great deal of theft. And, of course, it was really hard for my family because we lost our business. We lost our house, our cars, everything.
Oh,
you know,
Robbie, I didn't know about that. Yeah.
Really?
No, I've not heard that
you
story.
You ever wonder how I got out of the car business? Well, there it was.
Well, there you go.
And, you know, it was really, really, really a difficult situation, especially for my family, right? It's one thing to see yourself go through struggles, but when, you know, you built this house and you've got it, you see it foreclosed upon and you see all this stuff. Like, man, then all of a sudden, it's an interesting, but anyway, she got sentenced and I was there at the trial. So we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Okay, 866-348-7884.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back. Today we're asking the question, what's your love language? The number to call is 866-348-7884. I'm here with Robbie and we're talking about different ways that we feel loved, that we extend love to others. Dr. Chapman's written the 5 love languages, which has sold millions of copies in hundreds of countries, at least dozens of countries. I don't know. A lot of books out there. Quality time, gifts, acts of service, physical touch, words of affirmation. What's your love language? Robbie, we left off and you left us on a cliffhanger. You experienced a tremendous loss in your life of a business and security and a lot of things. And what did that look like for you to forgive?
Yeah, so again, the State Department of Revenue eventually, because she had also not paid the payroll taxes and all sorts of interesting things, they arrested her and she confessed. And when it came for the trial, the judge, or actually the, I suppose it was the prosecuting attorney, called and said, you know, Robbie, we'd really like you to testify because you're the only person that really can tell the judge that this was not a victimless crime, that you know, you lost everything. You lost the employees, lost their jobs, and we just want you to, you know, tell that story. And so that night before the trial, I'm praying, like, God, what, you know, what do I say? What do I, you know, what's he? And he says, and he tells me clearly, he said, Robbie, the judge is going to ask you how much time she should have for this crime. And so I had my answer all prepared. Like, I was ready for this because I felt like this is what the Holy Spirit was telling me was going to happen. So I get there, and I had not seen her since, you know, she resigned the day that they discovered what all that happened. And, man, she looked bitter. You know, I'd never seen that side of her because she always just looked like my happy office
lady. Yeah, she looked probably broken. Yeah.
Oh, she looked mean as a, like, oh, she was burning holes. Like, what is
okay,
he going to say?
Okay, not broken.
Yeah, at this point in time, she is not a humble person. Yeah. She was, like, really afraid that Robbie was going to bury her.
Right.
Right, because she knew.
You had, you know, the opportunity.
Right. And so after all the testifying gets done and all that, the judge looks at me and says, so, Robbie, you know, nobody would know better here than you how she should be sentenced. And so, you know exactly what the thing, and, you know, how should it be, should, which, how much time should she get? And, of course, I had my answer all prepared. I was like, sir, I just trust you know the law, and, you know, I completely trust whatever you say. You know, I'm sure you'll be fair, and I'm going to be good with that. And he says, I'm not letting you off that easy.
Yeah.
He goes, how much time should I give her? And I looked at Frank, at my office manager, and I prayed. And then I said, you know, I really personally do not see how the state of North Carolina benefits from putting a 60-some-odd-year-old grandmother in prison for any length of time. I said, however, you know, when I go home, I don't want my wife or the employees that lost their job or anybody else to say, oh, she got away with it.
Right. You were struggling with mercy and justice.
Right. And he said, that's what I needed to know.
Yeah.
And he let me say that. Yeah. I didn't have to say a year or 2 years, whatever.
Right.
He went, he did not spend long in chambers or whatever. He came back out and he gave her 5 years, but suspended it to 6 months.
Right. Wow. That's justice and mercy.
Wasn't it?
Which is what we receive at the
so
cross.
I, you know, when I think about forgiveness, that's the story that always comes to my mind. And I think God really worked through that and helped me, you know, to totally be at a point where I was good with what happened.
Right. We have a caller, Mary, from Advance, North Carolina, and she wants to talk about when you and your spouse have a different love language. if you have a story and you want to jump on after Mary, the question is, what's your love language? And the number is 866-348-7884. Mary, you're up. How are you?
How are you in
Advance?
Great. We love it out here. We love Winston-Salem.
Well, fantastic.
So my husband and I are both Christians. We love to serve the Lord together. We have a strong marriage. We have a healthy marriage, as much as that can be, right? Because marriage is still marriage. But his love language is acts of service, and mine is quality time together. So to him, a great night is, I'll paint the living room for you. Why don't you join me? And it doesn't feel like loving time spent together. Whereas I may say, let's go for a walk and a picnic and stare lovingly into each other's eyes. And he feels like he's not doing anything to serve me. So how do we marry our love languages in our marriage?
That's a great question, Mary. My husband and I are identical to you. I'm quality time, and my husband is acts of service and quality and physical touch, but acts of service, it comes naturally to him, not as much to me. When you're a mom and a wife, you learn how to do lots of acts of service, but I'm definitely quality time. Robbie, do you want to jump in on that one? I have a few thoughts, but I'll let
well,
you go
I'll
first.
No, you have all the experience.
No. On that one, you know, we've really learned, Mary. I had to recognize early on when he was doing acts of service, when he was, you know, helping to paint the garage or, you know, work on my car or whatever that was, that he was actually loving me. And I had to receive that as love from him instead of seeing that as not loving me. Like, from his heart, really and truly, that was a way that he loved me. And so I had to work on accepting that as love from him. And then we both had to work on speaking each other's love languages. So I realized it's a big deal that when JT gets home, he walks in the garage and it's not a total tornado zone. I mean, even if it's just a little straightened up, you know, and there may be 100 things I could do, but there are a couple of things that really make him happier when he walks in. And one is that he cannot stumble through the garage to get to the back door. So I've just learned that's just a small act of service that I can do that just takes a little pressure off him coming in the back door. But, and he's learned to get home and, you know, he has definitely learned quality time. Bless his heart. He will sit up at night, tell me about your friends, tell me about your day. And I'm like, you have learned so well. But we've been married for 32 years. I don't know how long you've been married, but, you know, it didn't come. 32
years.
Well, we are just twinsies, aren't we? You know,
as a matter of fact, tomorrow is our 32 anniversary.
Congratulations. That's amazing. Well, it's not easy. Speaking another person's love language that doesn't come naturally to you is difficult. And I remember Dr. Chapman saying, if you're not a words of affirmation person and you don't learn it, your spouse will wither on the vine. And so even if you have to stand in your bathroom in front of the mirror and practice saying nice things, eventually you'll be able to do it in person. Well, Mary, thank you so much for your call.
You're welcome. Thank you. That's helpful.
Absolutely. When we get back, we're going to revisit why it's hard to forgive and when we have to take lots of things into consideration. 866-348-7884. Call with your love language.
Truth Talk Live. You're listening to the Truth Network and TruthNetwork.com.
We're back on Truth Talk Live. What's your love language? Call us, let us know, 866-348-7884. So we've been talking about the fact that when we walk with Jesus, when we are following him, when we're making disciples, we want to be more like him, and that means that we love people well. And Jesus actually said, the mark of a disciple, he gave the Great Commission and said, make disciples. But then he said, you'll know disciples because they're loving God and they're loving people. So what's your love language? How do you receive love? But also, how does that impact the way you give love? And we were talking a little bit over the break about the fact that sometimes we observe people and we see how they're loving other people, and that'll tell us how they would like to receive love. Robbie, tell us a little bit of what you were, what we were talking about over the break.
Yeah, I've always really, really enjoyed, since I've understood it, to watch, right? And I have this friend, I call him Corn, his name's Ricky Corn, but we went to on a mission to Jamaica, and he's just a character and a half. He's from the mountains and just a, you know, just a character. But you can never see Corn that he doesn't have something he's thought a lot about that he's giving. You know, like, he will have a knife for you. He will have a one time he made me a pot that has a deer horn handle to it.
Okay.
He made it himself.
Ricky, what, you say, what is his name?
Corn.
Corn from the mountains.
Yeah, Ricky Corn. Ricky. One of my favorite people, actually. But I just watched him always do that. You know, I'm like, all right. So Ricky Corn's love language is clearly giving of gifts. It just is, you know. And so, you know, I was like, okay, well, let me give Ricky a pair of shoes. Let me give, you know, and so I know, okay, Ricky's going to be at this event. I need to have something for Ricky because, you know, you just see him light up because you just called his number, right? You know, that's exactly what it was.
So his actions towards others revealed how he likes to receive love. I think it's our natural bent to love people the way we, like, want to be loved. And so, you know, to be a student of the people in your family or maybe the people that you work with and try to figure out what is their love language and how can I speak that more often in a way that they're going to receive. You know, it shows up in families, Robbie, because they'll, you know, you'll say you'll have three kids, and for some reason, one child doesn't feel loved. And you're like, same parents, same genetics, same environment, two feel loved and one does not. And sometimes, you know, there's lots of reasons for that, but sometimes the answer comes in the form of love languages, that they really needed words of affirmation, but their parents were really great at acts of service or quality time. And so that love tank over the years just didn't get filled in that way. I don't know if you've seen that show
up.
Oh,
I'll tell you, especially with adult children. You know, yeah. It's to me, it's a little easier with smaller children.
Yeah, they like everything.
They do. But, you know, my older daughter, you know, she's just always been very independent, didn't require a lot of stuff. And so I just started observing her. Like, I was like, wow, look at how much time she spends with her daughter. Look at some of the things that she does. And so I thought, you know, maybe I just need to call her up and say, you know, Tess, do you want to go to lunch? Right?
Yeah.
And I said, if
my dad does that, I just light up because I'm a quality time girl.
Right. So I just was like, okay. So I called up Tess, you know, Tess, do you want to go to lunch? Sure. And so this hurt. Okay. Can I just tell you? So we get out to lunch. And as soon as I sit down, she goes, okay, Dad, so what's wrong?
Oh, yeah.
I said, nothing's wrong, honey. I just wanted to take you to lunch. No, you didn't. I said, yeah. I mean, that's all. I don't have any agenda.
Yeah, no agenda.
You're kidding me. You know, in other words, I just saw the whole thing and I went, man, I've been missing just for a while.
Right.
And I thought, you know, this is really a beautiful thing that God gave us through, again, Dr. Chapman, who we both know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just, it's a real opportunity to discover it and then, you know, watch God work through, you know, loving people well, especially our spouse, since, you know, that's the person that's really looking for her.
Definitely. If we've been to a couple of marriage conferences with Dr. Chapman, and he, you know, every time I talk to him, he's coming back from, you know, a marriage conference with military families or speaking to the United Nations. Dr. Chapman is up to a lot that we don't know about. But he always talks about the fact that, you know, marriages are healed by the Lord through the Holy Spirit, through working hard on your marriage. But this love language concept has really changed so many people's relationships, marriage and friendships and parent-child relationships. When you can understand how a person feels love and gives love, then it's kind of a key that unlocks a lot of things.
Yeah, and I've noticed, you know, for church ladies,
yeah,
a lot of them, it's the sixth love language. It's called baking cakes and cookies and pies.
That might be how you like to be loved, Robbie.
It is. I'm just saying, but I have noticed.
Robbie says 866-348-7884. Call in with which pie or cake you're going to make for Robbie.
Persimmon pudding, okay? Let me just say, like, you know, in Asheboro, for whatever reason, they can perfect it.
I have never been a persimmon pudding fan.
Have you ever had it?
I have.
If you ever come to West Asheboro Baptist Church, I bet we will change it. There's a lady named Judy, and if she makes you one, you know you're loved.
I will. I will give it another try. I will give it another try. Maybe it is her love language, and I need to accept that, don't I?
Yeah.
I think I could accept love through some chocolate cake.
Oh, well, that's always, yeah. We'll make you hungry, if nothing else.
What's your love language? Well, I want to circle back to forgiveness, because I think, you know, we love people with these love languages, but there's some more difficult, deeper ways that we are called to love people that are not as easy. You know, it may not be easy to give words of affirmation, but we can do it. We can dig deep. God can work in us, and we can give some words of affirmation. But when we've been wronged, it's just so hard. I was thinking about what are the reasons that keep us from forgiving? And some of them are very legitimate. Sometimes we have fear that we're going to be taken advantage of, or that if we forgive the person, it's like it never happened, or we have to pretend like it didn't hurt.
Or they get away with it.
Absolutely. So, you know, how do we handle that when we are conflicted in our hearts and in our minds about what, you know, there's nuances over we forgive, but when do we restore? When is there reconciliation? When are there boundaries? It's it's straightforward on the surface, but when we start to dig, it's a little more complicated.
And part of that digging, I think, is looking at old wounds.
Mm.
In other words, I don't know how many times I've seen it where you see there's a real struggle with forgiveness for this person and this person, but guess what? They watched their dad do that to their mother, or something happened that they, you know, made some kind of a call back then. So there's a root, right? A
sure.
bitter root, literally, that obviously Jesus, this is one of his expert places, like that he can really come in and help you go back. Because it's really beautiful when you think about it. Jesus lives in eternity. So he's not bound by time. He knows exactly. He can go exactly to where you still are. You know how sometimes you get
right.
really mad and you feel like you're five?
Yeah.
That's because you still are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right? And
sure.
that little five-year-old Robbie's still really upset about that because it reminds me of my big sister that used to beat up on me, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it does. I mean, it's just saying.
Yeah. And I think when we can ask God to heal our wounds, then it opens a door for the possibility of forgiveness. And, you know, really, my husband always says, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and hoping the other person will die. You know, it's really poisoning ourselves because we hold on to that and we develop this bitter heart. And it's actually a gift that God has enabled us to forgive and to restore our hearts to a different place. But that bitterness can really grow and bring, you know, it can stem from old wounds, things like that have happened in our lives.
It seems like when I see the ones that really, like, man, this is over the moon, that this person is absolutely furious and they're really, really struggling, asking God, take this away, you know, and they can't seem to push into it. That's an opportunity to push into. Is there something in my past that might be, you know, conflicting me that I still haven't dealt with that?
Right.
And so as you get into that, it's an opportunity.
And I think as we reflect more deeply on the gospel, the fact that we have been forgiven more than we can ever imagine. I guess as Tim Keller says, the paradox of the gospel of the cross is that we're more sinful than we ever imagined, and we're more loved than we can ever grasp. But when we start to you know, really deal with our own sin and our own, you know, we deserve to not be forgiven, but Christ has done that for us. It does change the way we view others and approach different situations.
I love what C.S. Lewis said. We need to get a good whiff of our inner cesspool. Well, I said it makes it a little easier to forgive.
Well, that's a good point. On that note, call us with your love language, 866-348-7884. We'll be right back.
Truth Talk Live.
You're listening to the Truth Network and truthnetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're asking, what's your love language? We left off with a few words around forgiveness. Robbie, do you want to add anything to that conversation? Maybe some other reasons why forgiveness is hard, or how do we work through those things?
Well, from my perspective, you know, there's a lot at stake here.
Mm.
Like every time we pray the Lord's Prayer, and I hope, you know, you're Ooh. Like me and you pray it, you know, every day. And, you know, you can't help miss that, but forgive us our sins as we forgive our sins. You know, like, man, I really need this, and so I really need to know how to forgive, you know, just to get to that point where, you know, that Jesus told that parable about the guy who was forgiven, a gazillion.
Right.
And then this guy owes him $10, you know. This is kind of like where I'm at,
you
know,
yeah.
right? And so it's on us. But what I see that's really, really helpful is I hear miraculous stories of forgiveness, like I heard Saturday, as I told you. It was clearly the Holy Spirit that gave them
mm-hmm.
the peace to forgive.
Yeah.
And it was clearly the Lord's directing that allows it. And so it's something that apparently just like you hunger and thirst for righteousness, I think you got to hunger and thirst for the ability to forgive when you know that you're struggling with it.
I think you bring out a good point, because I think in our flesh, just Alicia does not have what I need to forgive, especially, you know, on a very deep hurt level. But that's where God is restoring me, and I lean into who He is. I lean into His forgiveness for me. I see other people as image bearers, no matter what they've done, even if they've sinned against me or sinned against you. They still bear God's image, and they still, you know, need the Lord. And so how we deal with people when we're hurt or when we hurt others, like and the flip side of this is, how do we receive forgiveness? Because some of us can't even forgive ourselves. And even if we've wronged someone, we just carry that around. And even if they're willing to forgive us, we just can't let it go from our end. And that's also very damaging.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. And what in my experience has been, the person we can't forgive is
ourselves.
In other words, that one is the hardest, because we think that we're better than, you know, like, right? And it's a pride thing.
Right.
Right. And I just cannot. But you see people that are really hard on themselves. Mm-hmm. And
it's either
tough.
Pride or shame. Like either one, like when you fixate on yourself in a negative way, it's either because you're thinking about yourself way too much because you're prideful, or that shame is so deep that you can't seem to pull out of it. But I guess that's what I'm saying, is like, we need God's work in our hearts, especially in the area of forgiveness. Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you." And I wrote in this chapter on loving people through forgiveness, just Corrie ten Boom's story. She and her sister and her dad, they were living in Holland during the Holocaust, and they created a space in their home and kind of boarded it up, and it was hidden. It was called the hiding place. And they hid Jews in their home and protected them there. And they ended up getting caught, went into Ravensbrück concentration camp, where her dad and her sister died. But Corrie was really inspired by Betsy, who had the spirit of forgiveness and a spirit of love for the people in the camp and for their captors. And so over time, Corrie's heart was just gripped, and she came to love the people who had, you know, done so many atrocities to her people and the Jewish people.
Even the guard that had brutalized her sister, she ended up, you know, in a church where he comes forward and says, "I don't know if you remember me." And
yes.
Oh my gosh, he was the one.
Such a crazy story. And can you imagine in that moment having to put out your hand or extend any kind of warmth towards that person? And through Christ, she was able to. And she just has been such an example to me. I think I've listened to The Hiding Place so many times, I just about have it memorized. She's one of my personal heroes.
Right. But she, you know, she clung to the scriptures.
She did.
Throughout that. And there's no doubt from my perspective that one of the deep works that we can do if we're struggling with that is to dig into passages like that in Ephesians and other places, and just show me God, show me. Because like you said, His love language is clearly, for me, words of affirmation. And so
there are a lot of words of affirmation in
that
book.
There you go. That's what I need.
Plenty to call you out too, but He loves us that way as well.
Right, right. So yeah, but I, you know, one of the most difficult things I struggled with in my life, the worst addiction I ever had, which honestly was pornography, the problem was I couldn't forgive myself. Mm-hmm. That was completely the problem. Mm. And Jesus actually came to me. I was really, really working on it. And He says, "Robbie, do you want your innocence card?" And he's like, "Hannah, you want it?
Yeah.
Do you want to be innocent?" And I was like, I'm guilty. I can't take it. And he's, no, I'm giving it. Do you want your innocence card? I said, "No, I can't. You don't understand. I'm filthy. I'm guilty, guilty, guilty." And he goes, "Robbie, didn't I pay enough?" Mm. And I was like, "Oh." And at that moment, I was able to actually forgive myself. Mm-hmm. And I took the card.
Right.
And it changed everything.
Wow.
I mean, it actually released the whole chain of events, the whole deal. I'll never, you know, but it was the stemmed from, again, my pride that I was guilty.
Mm, yeah.
And when you're guilty, it's not, you know, I'm really guilty here.
It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant.
What do you mean you really need Jesus' blood? Well, yeah, I really, really needed your blood. I right there.
When we get a glimpse of what you were saying about C.S. Lewis's
intercessible, right?
Yeah. When you get a glimpse into your heart and you realize just the depth of depravity that's in there, it's humbling, but then Christ is there. And exactly what you said, he's like, I've done something about that. I made you in my image. I don't want to leave you in this darkened state. I want to redeem my image in you and restore you. And I want you back in my family. And I think that's one reason, and I love that you pointed out, in the context of loving God through his word and through prayer, we are healed and we receive his forgiveness. And I think there's an order to the love God, love people. You know, we love God because he first loved us. That's the first order. And then we love him out of a response. And as we love him, we start to love people differently. We see them differently. We interact with them differently. We value them because they're made in God's image. We value them because God has valued us. And it is a different perspective to live in light of the lens that Christ gives us because we're believers. So I think that leads us to, you know, maybe we'll just finish up on serving, like acts of service. In the New Testament, this word has a lot to say about Jesus' example of serving and just also what we call the one another's of Scripture. In the New Testament, there's so many passages that talk about one another. And the implication is that we're going to live with each other. And when we do, we're going to rub each other a little wrong here and there. We have to forgive one another. Kind of implies there's something to forgive. What are some of the other one another's of Scripture? How do we one another one another?
Well, for me, it's at the heart of love, it takes humility, and humility is what a servant is, right? It's that picture of, you know, what can I do? Because obviously, well, maybe not obviously, that I need to in order to get my eyes off myself, mm-hmm. I got to look at the other person to see what can I do to make their life better. What can I do to help them move closer to God? What can I do to do that? That's all acts of service, but it starts with sort of an attitude of, this isn't about me. What? No, it's not about
me. Contrary to cultural, what the cultural will tell you.
Right, it's not about me. It's how can I make this about you, and what would that look like if I did?
And yeah, in the context of making it not about yourself, it's actually where you find joy.
Right.
We don't really find much joy in the long term just being self-focused. When you're focused on others and how you can serve others, you actually get to be God's hands and feet, and you see things that he's doing in the world, and that's where you find joy and purpose. So the self-centered life, you know, when we talk about die to yourself and we make it sound so awful, well, on the other side of dying to self is life, a life better than you've ever imagined. I'm looking at a list here. Encourage one another, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens. So as we struggle in life, we have each other to come alongside and, you know, help each other out. This might not 150 one another's in the New Testament. So, you know, when we're talking about the love language, acts of service, we're all called to that. We're actually, it's neat if you can do all these, but I think when we really see our lives in light of serving, that's where we really find life and find purpose. Be compassionate to one another, submit to one another, be hospitable to one another. That plays into our spiritual gifts and your abilities and your personality, and how are you going to use what God has given you to work for the flourishing of the world. So words of affirmation. Anybody else want to call in? We've got just about another minute, but you can jump on. What's your love language? 866 248-7884. Well, so sorry, we're actually out of time, but we'll see you next time on Truth Talk Live. Go and love someone, serve them in Christ, in the name of Christ, and you have a great day.
Truth Talk Live.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.